That second last song we sang tonight, it says here, He is the bountiful giver. Now to him draw near. Peace then shall flow as a river. Thou shalt be saved from thy fear. Beautiful words. From thy fear. The title of my message is, Why Fear When You Fear God? Why fear when you fear God? Tonight, as darkness creeps over the Lamp and Light compound in New Mexico, every person there will think, could it happen again? This is where Sasha Kraus was kidnapped. Most of you know about that. And especially walking over that compound, and the murderer has not been caught, it would make people think. It could make people fearful. And especially tonight, dear young ladies, if this was done to a modest, humble, godly woman, how much more should a person be afraid if they are flirty, if they're haughty, if they're proud, and if they're sensual? God keep your sisters humble. God keep your sisters in humility. God keep your sisters dressed modestly. You know, God loves that. And what a safety. And we don't know tonight why God allowed this to happen to Sasha. But we do know it should speak to all of us to have a greater dependence upon God. God shouldn't become weaker to us through this, but we should be drawn more closer to Him in holiness. The more sure we are who God in Jesus Christ is, the less we depend on self and the less we have to fear. Peace and fear never mix, and neither does water and oil. It doesn't mix. Turn with me to John chapter 14 in the first verse. It says here the beautiful words of Jesus. He said, Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, If you believe there is a God, then also believe in Jesus Christ, because I am the way, which he later on says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way that you can have truth, that you can have peace, without knowing Jesus Christ. Fear comes automatically for any person, and it's because of sin. Jesus said, I will give you something that is different than the world will have to offer. And let's go and read verses 27 to 29 of the same chapter. Jesus said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. This peace that Jesus was going to leave for us, he didn't say he's going to leave fear. He didn't say he's going to leave worry. He didn't say that he's going to leave anxiety. In fact, the quote of the evening is this: He who broods over his problems has a perfect hatch. He who broods over his problems has a perfect hatch. It's like a mother hen, you know. Everything will hatch then. But Jesus said, I will give you something, and it is different than what the world will have to offer. The other week in Nashville, Tennessee, an F4 tornado came through, 25 people killed. And the world says tonight, we'll make better building codes. That may be the answer. Or maybe preach climate change or blame your president that he is not promoting climate change more. This will bring peace and they want peace and security. And the more secure people are, the less they think they have to fear. However, tonight, if our faith is in our building code, or our faith is in our religion, it is not what Jesus Christ wants to give us. Jesus said there is a difference between what the world offers and what Jesus Christ offers to us. When you walk the lamp and light compound or seeing another tornado come, there is fear. However, Jesus said, I have a peace to offer that doesn't depend on what evil man can all do to you or what can happen to earthly things that you own. Jesus said, I have peace to offer to you. And it is to know Jesus Christ personally tonight, to know that your sins have been under the blood, to know that you have been forgiven, to know that you have repented of your sins tonight, to know that is a peace that the world doesn't know anything about tonight. Does that mean you don't have maybe fear? Especially as a lady walking across that lamp and light compound. Yes, those thoughts may still come. But finally, in the end, you still know that if I am taken by evil man or whatever the world may try to do to any of us, you can still know in the end, I have a peace because this life, they can only do so much to you. And then I'm out of here to be forever with the Lord. That's a peace that Jesus Christ came for to give to you. And when you wake up and see all your belongings taken, whatever it may be out there by tornadoes or who knows what, that you can still say, yes, there's a loss. You can still cry and whatever it takes. But finally, you'll have to realize that I have still a peace, the best I still have, and that can never be taken from me if I have my sins taken away. I can rest in Him. That is one sure thing in a troubling world tonight, is it not? And Jesus said those beautiful words. He said, lo, I am with you until the end of the world. You know, it's not just for 2020 that He said He'll walk with you until the end of the world. And friends, that's a peace that the world knows nothing of. World knows nothing of. And that doesn't speak. That doesn't speak of the fear of God. Friends, the fear of God means that you have reverence of Him. And that means you, when you can look, as the Fanny Crosby writer wrote though that hymn, face to face, what shall it be? That you have reverence for God. You know what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. And yes, this old flesh sometimes fears of some certain things, but you know the outcome can be peace as you know your Savior tonight. Face to face, what will it be? The local stores are selling out face masks and toilet paper. Coronavirus is 3% that get it die. And this is bringing a tremendous fear across your nation and ours at home. I got something on my phone this morning, that a picture of a man walking, and he had 4 jugs of milk, and he had 4 loaves of bread, and I don't know, likely face mask and toilet paper, all. It was something like this, and he was bent back. And he said, they're getting ready for the coronavirus, but they're not ready for Jesus. But rightly so. Rightly so. Rightly so. Friends, this, you have to realize where this coronavirus came from tonight. It came from the Wuhan province in China. And that is where they have 2 biological warfare factories that they're testing in. You study the rest. I think something got out of hand there. Something got out of hand. You know, God can do many different things when man starts playing something that they shouldn't be doing. That's where they're doing it. You can get that. They have crematoriums going 24/7. They had three in the province that were going long before they ever had this thing going. And now, a number of weeks ago, they brought another couple of dozen crematoriums in, portable ones, to keep burning the people. It's a lot worse over there than they will let out to us in the free world. In Iran, the deaths are rising. They're affecting politicians. Yes. And our Sophie, our prime minister's wife, was told that she has now coronavirus too. In our country, she was over in the United Kingdom and was giving speeches there, and somehow got it. Just to inject this yet, there are a lot more people dying with the flu than there are with this. Keep thinking tonight. Keep thinking. Stay balanced. Don't be fearful. But the nations put sanctions on Iran and tariffs and all of these things. And you know, when God comes in the picture, he can shut those borders. All of Iran's borders, those buddy borders they had, are all shut. Nobody wants to deal with them. The top fellow from Hezbollah, the terrorist group, has it now too, and he was in a meeting with the Iranians, you know. God wants to work through these things in many ways. He can stop their evil activities in more ways than one. But tonight, we should pray for these families that have lost loved ones, because a lot of them are in spiritual darkness, no hope. That through these circumstances, they would turn to the Heavenly Father and realize what Jesus Christ has done for them. This virus can come through handling of money. It can be sitting around in your desk for 8 hours or 8 days. And people are becoming fearful. And they ask the question tonight, how are you? Are you fearful tonight? Are you going to stock up on a lot of things on the way home yet because of the fear that is within? What will happen tomorrow? And I don't know what will happen tomorrow, but I know there's one that will be with us tomorrow. Yes, we always have to keep that in mind. People are becoming fearful. And the question is raised, is this what the Revelation 6 writer is referring to about the pale horse that will gallop across the world to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and beasts of the earth? In Matthew 24, it says that there will be pestilence coming upon this earth like has never been before. No, this is not that, friends. The rapture of the church has not taken place yet, and thus that is not the case. But dearly beloved people, when that takes place there in Revelations, it says a quarter of the people on the earth will die, and that means 2 billion people will die under those circumstances. Friends, we're living in the time of grace. We can still preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit is still at work. And I trust he's working in you tonight to give you the calmness that is needed. Yes, these things that are happening round about us are pointing one direction. And we're all going to die outside of the rapture of the church, friends. And death brings fear to people. Death brings fear to people, the thought of dying. And tonight I ask you the question, are you fearful? Or do you have that peace of God which surpasses all understanding? In life, fear prompts us to do many things. You know, I still look both ways before I cross the street. Yes. I would not travel to China tonight or Iran or some boat cruise unless the Holy Ghost inspired. And I guess boat crews might never be Holy Ghost inspired the way some things go on. It's a floating hotel. You put your lights on at night in the car. God doesn't want you to commit suicide. He wants you to live. Satan uses fear to intimidate people, to destroy the peace and the joy that is ours through Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you can go to any store local here at home too. This is what people are talking about. This is fear that is coming, and what next is going to come? Do we have to stay at home 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and you know? And then they just watch the news and say, this is getting worse all the time. Noah had a fear of God that produced faith in God. Noah knew if he didn't start building that boat, there would be consequences, because he knew who God was. And he knew that if he didn't start building the boat, God would get somebody else. And he knew Noah wouldn't be able to swim too long. He would be staying down instead of riding on the water. Yeah. The fear of God is written all through the Bible tonight, from the start to the finish. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 and 23. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest, what? Learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Very interesting verses. Did you ever think that when you give your tithe, or give more than your tithe, it is to remind you of the awesomeness of God, that the things that he has blessed you with from day to day and week to week should continually bring fear to you in the awesomeness and the greatness of who God is, that he allowed you to be able to give to others, to give for the work of the church of Jesus Christ. It's a learning experience. It says, learn to fear. It doesn't come automatically. And then we go over to Deuteronomy 31. 31, verse 12 and 13. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. We're living in a day when a lot of people think that I can just have my own church or whatever it is, you know, in our day. We don't need each other. Here it says, gather everybody together. Gather the children together, that they may already learn how you are learning to fear God. That you come together on a Sunday morning, and that you're here to worship God, and that they can look up in your face and say that this is a special time for you. And as you drop your tithes in the offering box, that they see this is a worshipful experience. I'm giving because I fear God. And this fear is not to be giving because you have to, but because this fear comes because when you see how great God is and what he has done to you, it makes us unworthy servants tonight. Number one, it is to hear the word of God. Number two, it's learning to fear. You may have thought you automatically have this. No, this is a learning thing to fear God. And how many times we all have been told when we were young, as you're crossing the road, look both ways, and you drill that into your children again and again. Look both ways. You have to drill a fear into them so that they know that sometimes you only have one chance, you know. A car can hit you. It's like putting the turn signal all in your car. It comes without thinking finally of the consequences if you don't. You know, it becomes a routine thing. And that's what God wants us to worship Him. He's not a fearful God that He'll hammer you on the head every wrong you make. But you're doing these things automatically because you've learned to fear God. But every 16-year-old or whatever age you have over here that is going with a driver instructor, driver training person, and you are living in fear, you might forget something. And, you know, you're living in fear. What if I forget to put the turn signal on? You know, those driver trainers, they don't have so much mercy always, you know. Because you finally want your license, right? We all remember those days. Fear! But praise God, we don't have to live in that kind of a fear. Finally, you have learned that these things come automatically in a lot of ways. But that doesn't mean we come callous with God. No, not at all. Learn to fear God and observe. Start dying to self so you can live above the law. Hear and learn. Hear and fear God. We don't need so much education as we need to learn to fear God. In Joshua 8:1 it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. I have given unto thee into thy hand the king of Ai, his people, and his city, and his land. Fear not." And we would say, look at the battle that's ahead. Joshua was outnumbered. Big city. A lot of land. So why did the Lord say, don't be dismayed? Dismayed means loss of courage. Dismayed means sinking in the spirit. Dismayed means yielding to fear. Dismayed means losing of firmness. Fear comes when I start looking at myself. Fear comes when I look at only the armor I have towards the enemy. Fear comes when I start comparing what I am towards the enemy. You know, I may look at my backwoodsy background, and I look at a king, and I look at a mass group of people, at a huge city, and I may become dismayed because the mountain ahead of me is big, and it seems it's too steep for me to climb. The task comes up, is overwhelming. You may sit here tonight and wonder at all the things you may be called to do, or that could happen. You may look at yourselves and say some things are impossible to accomplish. And friends, that's a good state to be in. If you can hear the same words that Joshua did, the Lord said, I have given into thy hand the king, the people, the city, and the land. You're nothing tonight, dear people. I'm nothing. No. But if you let me, I can take away your worries, your fears, and many, many other things. And I can give you victory over the enemy. I can do it if you let me, God is saying. Joshua feared God to the extent that he would follow God's commandments, and then you don't have to be dismayed, but you'll be amazed. Just the opposite. What God can put into your hands. Get that? You don't have to be dismayed, but you can be amazed. We have a great God tonight, dear people. So what is the antidote for fear? Psalm 23. That old psalm we all know, isn't it? It says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Tonight, can you say that personally, that the Lord is my shepherd? And if you can say that personally, that he is your shepherd, you'll have to realize a good shepherd, even in this world, will take great care for his sheep. If you're willing to give yourselves under his protection. It says that he maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He maketh, he leadeth, he restoreth. And then when we're called to walk in the shadow of death, if then we would get coronavirus, he'll walk with us. Yeah. He will. He will. The psalmist said, thou art with me. And can we say that tonight? That God is with us. What a comfort. Because finally, death becomes scary, and if you're not a child of God tonight, fear is going to reign in your hearts. It will, if you've come to the age of accountability. There was a doctor in Kitchener, our local city, in 1987, a long time ago. He was from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And this is, he was a doctor, and he was up there on a speaking engagement. And this is what he said. He was a cardiologist from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And there was a 48-year-old letter carrier was having his heart tested when he collapsed. And what followed next scared this 64-year-old doctor. He said, most patients who speak during resuscitation tell him to get his hands off their chest. This man was different as he drifted in and out of consciousness. He pleaded with the doctor to continue because he said, I'm in hell. I noticed a genuinely alarmed look in his face. He had a terrified look, worse than the expression seen in death. And this patient had a gross grimace expressing sheer horror. His pupils were dilated, and he was perspiring and trembling. He looked, he looked awful. And he said, don't stop. Don't you understand? I'm in hell. And each time you quit, I go back to hell. Don't let me go back there. And this doctor was one that wasn't too sure if there's a hell or a hell, heaven. He thought heaven sounds nice. He could go for that. But he didn't believe that there was a hell. But that doctor said that night, something told him, in the life to come, there's also a hell. It brought fear to him until he got his life changed. This is what he said. Everybody is afraid of dying. Everybody is afraid of dying. They shouldn't be afraid of dying. They should be afraid of life after death. Is it safe to die? Yeah. Friends, fear. The psalmist said, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, when I fear God, then I don't have to be afraid of what that change will be between life and the hereafter. What a comfort tonight, dear people. Because if we're not ready to go, yes, there are only two places that we can end up at. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 7. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome coronavirus pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Pestilence, coronavirus, earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanoes, the list goes on. Things are stepping up very rapidly. There were over 1,000 earthquakes there in 1 week in December. The earth is shaking. It is shaking. These things will come and they will pick up speed. But is this not a comfort? In verse 4, I want to take you as children of mine under my wings, as a hen does her chicks. And anybody who has ever seen that, it is a beautiful sight. Because the hen will only have to make a certain noise. When she sees the hawk flying over top, she makes a noise and those chicks will all come underneath and she puts her wings out. Tonight, that speaks of peace. That peace, that speaks of security that doesn't come by just reinforcing your house and the new building codes and whatever else it may be. This is the 911 of the Bible, Psalm 91, verse 1. If you are fearful and anxious and troubled, call upon the Most High. As a Christian tonight, life will not be trouble-free. No, it won't. But you can have peace when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're sitting here and are not a Christian, are at the age of accountability, then don't tell me you have peace, because it's not true. It's not true. Peace comes only tonight by knowing He is with us and knowing we have someone to call upon when we think things are out of control. And in all of our lives, there are times that come when things seem out of control. But they aren't, friends. We have a great God. And like we talk with the children tonight, always look up. Look up. He wants to bring you under his wings. Satan uses fear. There was a major earthquake in an area in some tribal race in South America years ago, and the whole village was shaken apart pretty well, and they thought this one old lady there. What happened with her during the earthquake here? Did the shack fall? There was not too much to lose. Whatever, did the shack fall on her? Whatever, and they ran to this old woman, and she was crying. But she was still smiling. And they asked, were you hurt or anything? And she said, no, I'm okay. But I have a God that is able to shake the whole world. You know, there's a difference between praise and fear and peace and fear. This lady, it was fearful to go through that earthquake. But then she cried with tears of praise to think that my God could even do this. And even protect her. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And friends, tonight, this is the peace that Jesus Christ wants to bring to all of us tonight. Because all of us growing up, there's a fear of death. What would happen if I would die? And Jesus went to Calvary. He went to the grave and he rose again. And he broke that power of death, and over which is from the devil. And he said, and deliver them who through the fear of death were their whole lifetime subject to bondage. Deliver them, deliver you from the fear of what is coming and the fear of death. Death is powerful tonight, but the hope of the resurrection is greater. Praise God. That old tribal woman didn't have much to lose. And maybe that is the problem for us, for our fears and anxieties and worries. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Florida. And there was a motorhome sitting across the place where we worked that was worth $2 million. Some of those blocks, all the houses were million, 2 million, I don't know, a lot more likely. The boat's worth millions of dollars. And we talk tonight about the good life, the American dream. We talk about the Canadian dream, the good life. No wonder we or you have a socialist and a communist views come sweeping America because they want equality. Tonight I say, better is little with peace from the Lord. Yeah. The answer again is fear God. The scripture is very clear. If you have much, much is required to help those that are poor and needy. There's a meeting day coming when you will meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes. Wherever you are, whoever you are. 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The former New York mayor, Bloomberg, lost $8 billion the other week because the stock markets went wild. And he spent $50 billion on an election that he was running in for 2 weeks' time. This is not what 1 Peter 5 is talking about, casting your care upon him. It means as a child of God, when circumstances arise, when the winds blow and the waters rise, viruses come, you don't have to fear God. You don't have to fear God, but it's a time when we can even get closer to him. We can cling to him, as it were, because if he is your Savior, he will love to hear from you in the times we're living in. Yeah. He can even protect you from the coronavirus. That's my God tonight. I don't know if I'll get it or not. But I think I can have rest and security through it. Apostle Paul, when the ship was on, when he was on that ship and it was sinking, they have cast everything overboard. There was nothing to ever cling on to or get to shore anymore. But this is what he said, fear God. Fear God. He wasn't in a real, he knew things weren't good. But what a beautiful time we're in with even all this virus going on. Just fear God. Reverence him, who he is, and you'll never go wrong. You have security. You don't have to make foolish moves and stock up a whole room of canned goods for what when you're not going to get out. I mean, the Lord wants us to use common sense in the day we're in. He's given you a mind. And when the mind isn't filled with the fear what the world offers, you can have a peace. And we can go forth day by day, expecting great things from him. 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You have perfect love tonight. If you have a perfect relationship with God, fear has to go. Because if not, fear has torment. It irritates. Constantly on the move. You can't rest. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Has fear been cast out of your life tonight? I ask that question. I don't know. Fear God. The fear of God produces good stewardship in obeying the word of God. The fear of God keeps a person pure. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Is not the God you have? It says, thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee or others. The fear of God in Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my shepherd and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If God is your salvation, if he is your shepherd and he's already telling you where to go out in the field and bringing you back in again in his perfect time and so forth, it says, whom shall I fear? All the wolves that are out there trying to attack us, if I have a good shepherd, I'm okay. Whom shall I fear when I have salvation? It takes the fear of man away. And you know, even as preachers, it takes the fear away from preaching the truth. Because sometimes you have people in an audience, you know that you know, you'd rather be speaking about something else. I'm sure every preacher. But it takes the fear away because this is truth, finally. We don't have to fear what man does to us. And young people, if you're a child of God tonight, you don't have to fear when you're not accepted by others. You have a God that you can call upon. But that doesn't leave the others off the hook that aren't using you right either. What are the conditions? Salvation in Christ that gives light to walk in the day. The fear of God frees a conscience. The other week, I was gone. My wife calls me, and I thought she's later going to call me because it was supper time, when I'll be home. And she said, there's somebody at the door. And I said, okay, he'd like to talk with me. I said, I can't be home until half an hour at least, at the quickest. So I made it home, but this man left money for me. I don't even know, I wouldn't know the man in a crowd if I'd see him. And so I called him the next night and thanked him for it. He said this was money that he hadn't paid about 7 years ago for rent on where he was renting in my house. Okay. He said he drove by my road over the years. He drove by and he always saw the gospel sign. He said, I should go in, talk with him. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know, it was 7 years for sure. He even's forgotten that he didn't pay. You know, if I would have still held that against him, I would have been in worse shape than he was. Just as bad anyway. You know, bitterness will drive me down the wrong road. As hard as it is sometimes, we have to forgive and leave the rest up in the Lord. But this man, I told him, you're a free man. And he said, yes. He paid up, even though I'd forgotten all about it. God likes when people fear him, that the conscience can work and move, and there's something there, they'll be free. They'll be free. Yeah. Are you free tonight, friends? The fear of God helps you to choose your destiny. Indeed, it does. To come, to be prepared, to be ready for the Lord's return. And in the meantime, it keeps you living according to what the Word of God says. The fear of God. There are many people with fair speeches and everything else about God. but they're not living the Word of God. Those people should be fearing God, of meeting Him in judgment. Tonight, dear people, you can fear God as an awesome God and reverence Him when your sins are under the blood. It brings peace. It brings joy. It frees the conscience. And then when coronaviruses come and whatever else may be coming, we can leave this place tonight and thank the Lord that we don't have it now. Yeah. Act wisely. Yes, we're called to do that. Act respectfully to each other, and the Lord will do many great things as we lean upon Him. Shall we pray?